of Women's Missionary Union. Leading us in our song services, Dr. Claude H. Ray from New Orleans Baptist Theological Seminary in New Orleans, Louisiana. At the organ, Mrs. J. Perry Carter of Miami and Mrs. Charles Walker of Tallahassee. And at the piano, Mrs. William Summerlin. From the Baptist Jubilee Advance Emphasis of 1959-60, we take the theme of this annual meeting, Holding Forth the Word of Life. May we all stand together as we open this meeting in prayer. Our Father, we thank Thee for this day. We thank Thee for all that are here and those that we represent. We thank Thee, dear Father, for the opportunity to work in Women's Missionary Union. We thank Thee for the past, we thank Thee for the present, and we thank Thee for the opportunities that confront us for the future, not only of the work of this organization, but of our entire Southern Baptist Convention. We thank Thee today for this meeting and for all who have had a part in it. We thank Thee for those who will come to speak and to sing, to lead us and to guide us through these sessions together. Be very near to each one of us, and be with those who are on their way, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
As we continue our worship together, we turn, please, to hymn numbered 11. Hymn numbered 11, All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name, Let Angels Prostrate Fall. Hymn numbered 11. Please, as we sing for stanza four, may we stand.
Oh, that we don't
certainly, as we seek to ascribe honor and majesty to our Savior and Lord, we would sing, Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise. We turn, please, to hymn numbered 15 as we continue our singing together. Hymn numbered 15, O For a Thousand Tongues. Holding forth the word of life, thy word is like a garden, Lord, with flowers bright and fair.
Thy word is like a garden, Lord, with flowers bright and fair. And everyone who seeks may pluck a lovely cluster there. The world is like a deep, deep mine, and jewels rich and rare are hidden in its mighty depths for every searcher. Thy word is like a starry host, a thousand rays of light are seen to guide the traveler and make his pathway bright. Oh, may I love thy precious word, may I explore the mind, may I the fragrant flowers glean, may light upon me.
In recent months, we had in our bookstores a charming little book called Letter Home, written by one of our missionary nurses to Nigeria, West Africa, Antonina Canzanero. And so, borrowing an idea from this little book of poetry and prose,
and I can heartily recommend this book to each of you. We have asked our missionaries to come each session and tell us something of what these letters from home and to home mean to them. Leading our missionary meditation this morning is Mrs. W.B. Hicks from the Philippines. And following her message, we will be led in prayer after a testimony from a new missionary appointee, a nurse to Nigeria, West Africa, Miss Delilah Jones from Illinois. A letter home. Could you but know the thrill of receiving letters from you and the joy that we have as we write to you, as we express to you the joys of our experiences there. We want to say, dear friends, we arrived safely and how we love our new home. Oh, that you could be with us in these early experiences, that you could go into the villages and that you could stand and have an interpreter beside you for the first time. Or as one afternoon we went into the home of one of our Filipino friends that we had met on our way. They invited us for what is known as merienda, and we went in for a delightful afternoon luncheon, it turned out to be. We were served many delicate dishes, and at that time, some of these things appeared to be very much like American dishes, but there was one with a shrimp filling and some slaw wrapped up in a little white paper that looked very much like Kleenex. It was served to us, and carefully Bryant removed the Kleenex from this delicate dish. Later, we were amused to find out that you weren't supposed to do this, that it was one of the very special dishes, and that you would eat this Kleenex, for it turned out that it was a riced flour that had been made into a very delicious little cake, and it was very thinly wrapped around the shrimp. Oh, in these early experiences, we felt almost like a new baby must feel as he comes into his new world, into his strange new world, for there's so much to see, so much to learn, there's so much to hear as you walk the streets. We would like to take you in those streets. We would like for you to experience the thrill. And so through our letters, we have attempted this. Constantly, we were reminded in these days that we were strangers as we saw strange sights and new situations. Yet, the Filipinos, with their vivaciousness and their warm, friendly spirit, soon made us to feel that we had been welcomed into their family. Through the 3 years that we have served in the Philippines, this feeling of at-homeness has grown. Whether we were out in the small villages and thatched houses with thatched roofs, or whether we came into the cities with their modern, up-to-date homes, we met there an eager and searching response. Now we find that our hearts are hopelessly and helplessly entangled with the people to whom God has called us to serve. Oh, there have been moments of frustration and disappointment, but the joy of seeing people as they discover a loving and forgiving Lord for the first time always blots out any of these memories. The constant thrill of watching lives being transformed by the matchless love of God oftentimes brings us to a new awe of the wonders of God's grace and power. Yes, we've tried to share this, and I'm glad that we've had this opportunity to come and to make alive letters and the experience that we have as we receive letters from you and as we write to you, for we feel so vitally the need of this contact, this communication. We've tried to share with you some of these ecstatic moments, but words are inadequate. Always you are in on what we are doing, on what God has allowed us together to perform for Him. You have been very near in each of our experiences, for we feel your prayers and your concern and your interest lifting us up like hands, undergirding us with love. We depend on your participation in our work more than you ever will know. For faithful service in your part of God's vineyard, your prayer, your careful tending of the young lives that have been placed under you for nurture. All of these are very important in God's overall kingdom work. And God's work abroad cannot be carried on if you are not withholding and holding up this part of life for Him. As we think about our letters, the letters that is that come from you, I want to express to you the joy that comes to our lives as we hear of what you are doing here, for it binds us even closer in the task that is ours together. And we see your part of the world and the joys of your experiences in the Master's service have a contagion which carries across the world, and it infects us and gives us a greater enthusiasm for what we are doing. True, our world has grown very small, and we are very close together through communication. Won't you let these letters home be very personal, though we cannot write, "Dear Jane, dear Sue, dear Pastor," for each one we feel is personally directed to you, for we feel so bound up with you in service for Christ. It's because of your loving concern, coupled with God's boundless love, that we saw Evangeline Mendoza transformed as if by some magic alchemy. Picture, if you will, a raven-head Latin beauty, and you see Evangeline Mendoza. But couple along with this the unhappy hues of a very introverted personality. No young people in our community felt that they knew Evangeline. She was very withdrawn, very cold and indifferent. She had no close friends, which for a Filipino is very unusual. But none of the young people knew her. As we first met Evangeline, this is the way she appeared. We went into her home as she had come home from Manila for her vacation from school. She had been studying in Manila in architectural design, and she was home for a vacation. Her father had just recently joined our church and had given a wonderful testimony of what Christ can do in a life. And he had asked us to pray for this daughter and for the rest of his family. And he had invited us to come into his family and to talk with Evangeline and to ask her if she would attend our youth conference, which was to be held on our seminary campus in Baguio. Bryant, my husband, and I went to this home and visited with her, and Evangeline said, "All right, I'll go. I'll attend this youth conference only because my father wants me to." And so reluctantly she came to our campus with the other young people from our community there in Baguio. She joined in with the other young people from all over the island of Luzon as they sang together, as they studied the scriptures, and as they had recreation times together, a true Ridgecrest in the Philippines. We saw this young girl as she sat there each night. The first two nights in particular, we were concerned about her. For after the service, Bryant preaching each evening, after one of these services, Evangeline handed to him a note. And in it she said, "Why do Baptist women wear earrings when in the Old Testament it's a mark of slavery? Why do you worship on Sunday when the Bible says you must worship on the Sabbath?" The questions were valid ones, but the tone of the note was very impertinent. And the second night, Tuesday night, a similar note came, and we had not had time to get aside with her and to answer some of these questions. But all the time, Evangeline was being exposed to the enthusiasm of these Baptist youth as they had come together for this time of inspiration. On Wednesday night, after the service, when the invitation was given, Bryant looked up to see Evangeline taking the first step out into the aisle, and as she came forward, tears of joy were streaming down her face. And as she looked at him, she said, "Oh, Pastor Hicks, you know those questions that I wrote to you, those notes that I gave to you?" And he said, "Yes. Why, Evangeline?" And she said, "You don't have to answer them now. You don't need to answer those questions, for everything is all right now." You see, the questions had not been answered. We had not had an opportunity to answer them with her. But because she had answered the most important question in her life, her relationship to Christ, the other questions were unimportant now. Instead of being the mountains, they now were made into hills by faith. Evangeline knew that when she took this step, that when she came forward to accept Christ as Savior, that it would mean the end probably of her education, that she would not have the dream of her life to come to the States to be able to continue her study in architectural design. She knew she had to go and tell the aunt who had been supporting her what she had done and what had taken place in her life. Evangeline left our church one Sunday morning early to go with her family down to the foot of the mountains into one of the villages where her aunt lived. And there she told her aunt what had happened. The response was very much as Evangeline had expected. The aunt said, "Evangeline, if you become a Baptist, if you are baptized into that church, then you will have no more support from me. You know you have been my favorite, and I will do anything for you that I can. But if you do this, you can expect me to withdraw all support." Evangeline didn't stay with her parents on that weekend visit. She came on back to Baguio and came into the church late on Sunday night and slipped in beside me, reached over and placed her hand on mine and said, "I want to talk with you after church." After the service, Evangeline told me of the pressure that her family had brought to bear upon her. Not her father. He had stood there and stood beside her, and he gave his testimony of what Christ could do too. But Evangeline was just moved. She said, "My mother pleaded with me. She begged me. She cried and said, 'Oh, don't be baptized. You can attend the services, but don't be baptized into this church.' She said, 'I must do what I must do. Christ has come into my life, and I cannot deny him, for I know now the full joy and the confusion of my life is no longer, for I know my direction is from him.'" Evangeline went on to Manila, not knowing how she was going to continue her studies there. But she had saved a little, and so she took the amount that she had and started her classes in Manila. And when we were there, getting ready to leave for furlough, Evangeline came to our hotel room, and she told us that a lady had come and asked her to come and live at her house. She had a place to stay. After we arrived in the States, this radiant, bright, brilliant young girl wrote to us, and the joy of her experience in Christ poured out on the pages as she expressed to us the experiences that she was having. And she said, "I have been asked to be the assistant to one of my professors." She said that it meant an opportunity for her to be able to tell about her Lord and Savior. And a girl who before could not even talk to us or to her friends in the community, could not even hardly talk to her parents, now said, "I have become a conversationalist, especially when it pertains to things about God." She saw that this was an opportunity for her to witness for him. Only 4 months before this was the girl that I described to you. A very drab personality, a girl very withdrawn, an introvert of introverts. But now, through the transforming power of Christ in her life, She was an extrovert of extroverts. Oh, the transforming power of Christ that you were able to give through your love and your concern, your giving and your living. You sent us forth to testify and to draw one like this out of a world of darkness to stand as a radiant, beautiful light in a world of darkness that does not know the saving power of Christ. Oh, can't you see that you have had a part in all of this? Can't you see that your written letters to us and your prayers in our behalf and your concern and your giving and the way that you live caused this to happen? You, all of you, have had a part in God's plan in the life of one like this and in many throughout God's world. Oh, we give thanks for you. It is indeed a privilege for me to share with you my testimony this morning, because Women's Missionary Union has meant so very, very much to me in the past few years as I have sought to know and do God's will. I grew up in a small town in southern Illinois and attended a Southern Baptist church with my parents. I accepted Christ as my Savior when I was 15 years of age. A year following that time, I attended a youth revival led by Chester Swore, who was our youth evangelist that summer. During this revival, Dr. Swore challenged us to give our lives to Christ and to seek and know His will. He gave us the challenge to seek and know the will of God in our lives. And it was during this week that I made the decision I would seek God's will and do it in my life. As I returned home, I had a problem. I knew nothing of the things a woman could do in full-time religious work. In our small country church, we had preaching and Sunday school, and that was all. So I began to pray that God would reveal to me His will. He answered that prayer in one way. First, He led our pastor's wife to organize a women's missionary union in our church, and along with that, our YWA. And it was during this time that I felt definitely God had called me to do foreign mission work. Again, I needed to know so many things in preparation to do this work. I knew nothing of our foreign mission board, and I knew very little about the preparation for mission work. And so again, I prayed that God would help me know these things. And He did. In our small church, our income was probably less than $60 a week, but they gave me the money to go to Ridgecrest for YWA week. And during that week, I publicly went forward saying that God had called me to do mission work. As I returned home, again, I had to prepare to do this work. And so I prayed that God would help me go to school in preparation for this. I attended Southern Illinois University through the help of my parents and working myself. After college, I had decided that I would teach so that I could go on to the seminary. But again, God provided an answer to that. And through the help of Illinois Women's Missionary Union, I attended Southwestern Seminary. I had always been interested in nursing and hoped to go to the mission field as a nurse. But it seemed that that had not come about as I prepared. Just prior to graduation from the seminary, I attended a YWA house party in Belton, Texas. And there I met a friend whom I had known in the seminary. She told me about the School of Nursing in San Antonio, where she was working as assistant to the chaplain at the hospital there. I told her of my interest in nursing and that I had hoped to go to the mission field as a nurse. Shortly after that time, again, God provided the answer and made it possible for me to go to the School of Nursing in San Antonio. I finished there in August. I hope to go as your missionary nurse to Nigeria, today, not because of any merits or abilities of my own, but because God has consistently led in the past few years in that direction, has provided every opportunity I needed for preparation, and has led consistently to that field. I go along with many other new missionaries this year who go depending upon your prayers and your support. And now let us pray for two of the missionaries who are on our prayer calendar today. Mrs. Lewis O'Connor, Jr. in Korea, and Miss Catherine Walker in Indonesia. Shall